It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, Della Tofola, Dan Berger, of course, and this week Tom Simoneaux's back in, presenting Donald Patz from the Donald Patz Wine Group. Good to see you.
Great to be here, man.
I have to ask you this. I've been saying it all day. We got to find out what happened to Hall.
James actually is still working for Patz and Hall, and so he's still the winemaker there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've started your own thing.
I did. So we sold the company in 2016, and I continued to work with the new owners, San Michel Wine Estates, for a year.
Oh,
at the end of that year,
okay,
we sat down, and we had a great conversation. It was clear that they weren't really sure what they wanted me to do going forward. So I said, tell you what, you don't have to pay me any more money. Just release me from my non-compete, which they agreed to do.
Oh, cool.
So May 1st, 2017, I hit the ground running, making some new wines, and I'm thrilled to be able to show you a little bit of those today.
Well, very cool. And so the label is Donald Patz Wine Group?
No, that's the overarching the company name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Donald Patz Wine Group, LLC. There's three different brands. So the one that we're going to try first is one that I'm doing as a collaboration with one of my friends from the Northern Rhone Valley, a guy named Francois Villard. And this brand is called Terminum. And it's a white Rhone variety blend and Syrah, two separate wines. Then I've got
Terminum.
It's derived from the Roman god Terminus, which means who was in charge of borders and boundaries in Roman times. And so this is my sort of joke on a couple of levels that it's coming from Mendocino County, which is as far as I want to drive. So it's sort of like the boundary.
That's it. That would be my limit, too.
And, and it's the third project, which seems like plenty already. Two was enough, but three is like too many. So that's another border and boundary. But it also is a reference to the fact that these grape varieties really originated in the Northern Rhone Valley, which was an important grape-growing region, winemaking region, during Roman times. And, in fact, there are parts of that Northern Rhone Valley that have never been replanted since the end of the Roman Empire, which is kind of interesting.
What's the blend again?
So this is – it's Terminum. The wine actually is called Cépage d'Or, which means golden grapes or grapes of gold. And the blend is is about half – Marsan, about 25% Roussan, and then 12.5% each Pic Poule Blanc and Viognier. Which is crazy, isn't it?
I love the nose.
And with every case, you get a thesaurus.
Yes.
So that you can
figure out.
The nose is amazing. Part of that is that 12% of Pic Poule, which is a grape variety that doesn't make much impact on...
Picpoul,
and it's a French variety. It makes a really lovely minerality style of wine, but it's not very popular on the West Coast. It's popular on the East Coast of the United States.
Tommy?
It's kind of like a Grenache Blanc kind of thing.
Sort of like that, except with a little bit more...
I had never heard of Picpoul.
It's got a lot of that citrusy acid component.
Yeah, and you were saying that the French use it to brighten up things, too. Because it's such high acid wine?
Yes. At least in the Rhone Valley, it's only grown in the southern Rhone. So it's not even allowed in the northern Rhone area. So Hermitage wouldn't be – well, Hermitage would be virtually all Marsan anyway. But the Saint-Joseph area, which is where Francois will make a Marsan-Roussan blend, they wouldn't be allowed to use either Pic Poule Blanc or Viognier as part of those blends. But
what
in the southern Rhone – this is 2018 –
and it's amazingly structured for an 18. It's already halfway to being exactly what it wants to be.
So you wouldn't lay it down for
lay it down for two more years because I think it's going to need a little bit of massaging to get all the fleshy components back out of it. You already begin to taste some of that because the mid palate is just glorious.
It's delicious. It's round. It's rich. Feel that in the finish.
You almost feel like it has some oak on it, but there's no oak. I mean, it was all neutral barrels.
Just delicious and refreshing. And, I mean, this could become the new Chardonnay.
I doubt it. I'm not betting on it. I made 200 cases of this.
The problem is that you have to really buy into the whole concept before you understand what the wine is. This has really got great structure, great flavor, but it's subtle. It's not in your face.
Well,
no,
here's another question. Not. Can you repeat this with the 19?
I think so. I mean, we have a great relationship with the grower. This is coming from Alder Springs Vineyard in Mendocino, and Stu Bewley up there really dials this in for us. So we have an ongoing conversation about when we want to pick what kind of sugar, acid, pH, things that we're looking for, but also
so
flavor,
you,
of course.
Do you have a 19 in barrel?
We do. Huh. It's still fermenting right now.
There we go.
But, it's. I think it's going to be a very similar blend.
Yeah.
I love the names. Maritana,
yeah.
Terminum, so, and Secret Door
Secret
Winery.
Secret Door Winery, yeah. Maritana, I really thought I made that name up. I was thinking about Sonoma. I couldn't come up with one, right? I mean, if you try to come up with a new name for a winery, you'll be extremely frustrated because every time you Google that new name that you think you it's been used five times. There are some people that are using 8, 9 different names on their labels. It just drives me crazy. But anyway, so I thought I made it up. And where it came from was I thought about Sonoma, and I kind of came up with all kinds of different words. But the words that I chose to sort of work from were oceans and mountains, right? So ocean became maritime, mountains became Montana. Maritana. Turns out that's actually a woman's name. There's almost none of them. In fact, I don't know any in the United States. But if you go on social media, which, of course, everybody is doing now, there's a bunch of them in Brazil and in Portugal and in Spain. But the biggest number is in Russia. So we're really lucky there.
Really?
Opens a new
Maritana.
Market for you.
Maritana.
I would have thought Italian.
It could be. Yeah. I just haven't. I mean, it's social media, right? So you just sort of stumble across people.
Yeah. Wow.
I find this to be, actually, Donald, this is a terrific glass of wine. People should jump. Wait, is this released now, this 18?
It is available, yeah.
And how do they find it?
The 18 is really only available online right at this moment. So you can go to DonaldPatsWineGroup.com, and that will direct you to all three of these different brands. You can kind of follow your way to that.
This one I highly recommend. This is a beautiful wine. What do you think?
It really is.
Just stunning wine. And it's rare to see a wine that's made from with a lot of Marsan in it, where the Marsan has actually been handled properly and it doesn't smell and taste like mucilage or something.
I take it you don't like
let me say it.
That's probably a name, too. Mucilage.
That's mucilage.
Yeah.
There's a brand that
Grand
has
no prior
use on that one.
Yeah. You're safe there.
What I was going to say is that warm climate Marsan smells like mucilage to me. So. And this is cool.
It reminds me kind of lanolin.
Yeah.
There's a sort of waxy smell to riper Marsan.
There's a trace of peach in here, probably from the Viognier.
Probably, yeah. Although the Viognier was not that super exotic Viognier either. It was definitely, sort of modulated. So it made a really nice blending component.
Gorgeous.
Delicious.
Is there a tasting facility somewhere?
You know, it's really fun is that we just recently moved production on the next wine up, the Maritana wines, the Russian River Chardonnay and Pinot. And we're making them at Grand Cru Custom Crush in Windsor. So, yes, you can actually make an appointment with me, and we can meet you there. We can taste all three of these different brands together at Grand Cru.
Any plans in the future for, like, a tasting room? Maybe everyone's got one now in Healdsburg. But
Healdsburg's a nice spot. It's a long way from me. I actually live in the city of Napa, and it's a stretch just to get to Windsor. So,
listen, I live a mile and a half from here, and I bitch every time I have to make my commute. Yeah.
What are you people doing on Bennett Valley Road? Get out of my way.
Oh, we're just a bunch of old guys getting cranky.
You sound like me coming down from Healdsburg.
Every time somebody says, "How you doing?" I go, "Old and cranky."
Yeah.
So we're moving on to your new Chardonnay?
That's correct. This is Maritana, and it is a this is the Russian River blend, basically. It's called Le Riviere, and in 2017, it's two vineyards, but going forward, it'll actually be more than two vineyards each year.
Okay, so this is Maritana.
Maritana. Maritana Vineyards.
Chardonnay.
Le Riviere, Russian River Valley Chardonnay.
I love that name.
So it's French, of course, and when we get to it, you'll see what I might as well say it now. So the Pinot Noir that I do, that's a blend of multiple vineyards, is called Larousse. So I used French to say Russian and river. So Pinot is Russian, Chardonnay is river in French. And it's really, it's a marketing thing. You know, I got tired of people saying when I was at, this happened every place I ever worked, including Patson Hall. If you had a wine that was just an Appalachian wine, and then you did single vineyard designates, the Appalachian wine immediately became your regular version. So I'll take five cases of your regular wine there, Donald, and then a couple cases of your single vineyards. And so I really didn't want – these aren't regular wines. They're not priced like regular wines. They're not made like regular wines. They come from fabulous vineyard sites. And I wanted to be able to distinguish it as something different from just an everyday blend.
Are any of these wines available like at Bottle Barn or any retail?
Well, we'd love to be at Bottle Barn.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to be at Bottle Barn very soon, okay, so let's look there.
Where is Barry?
Barry Herbst, well, he's been in for 2 weeks. That's a record
two in
for
a row.
Him.
Yeah, well, he's probably selling so much wine from the Harvest Fair that,
yeah,
you
is.
Know, I mean, they're going right
they're
out
going
straight
crazy,
there.
Yeah.
Good for them.
He still has about 90 rosés to get rid of, and they're fabulous. He by the way, he had over 100 this year.
Rosés, yeah. I think he mentioned that last week.
About 99 more than I drank last year. So. Sorry.
Now, so tell us a little bit about this. Where
yeah.
did
yeah. So when we started Maritana, I really felt like I was getting a chance to just wipe the slate clean from what I'd done previously at Patson Hall. Not that that was bad. But, you know, 30 years later, maybe it's time to rethink a few things.
Sure.
And so I wanted to focus exclusively on Russian River. No Sonoma Coast, no stuff from any other part, no, nothing from Carneros, just Russian River, because it's always been my favorite area for these two varieties. And so I started kicking around looking for grapes immediately as I knew I was going to be leaving at the end of April in 2017 and came up with some really lovely stuff. So the big difference is, obviously, first of all, I'm buying grapes from different sources. There may be some overlap in terms of who's growing them, but I'm getting it from different parts of their vineyards or different vineyards entirely that they manage. And then the second one is, you know, I just wanted to rethink barrel fermentations. So we're using 90% – on this wine, 90% one-year-old barrels. I have a great source of one-year-old barrels. And so 90% one-year-old, 10% brand-new barrels. I'm really looking to focus more on the elegant, pretty, floral – citrusy part of Russian River Chardonnay rather than try to make it, you know, something super thick and oily and
too much oaky, yeah.
Is this a personal, you know, it's my personal favorite to drink right now. Or
Tom, what kind of difference does the year of the barrel make?
Well, if you have a brand new barrel, you get too much oak. You get, you know, the first thing when you put this in your nose, right? Stick your nose in there. Dive right into that.
I would love
to. And you're smelling some tropical fruit there, a little bit of peach,
citrus.
The acidity's there. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's not oak. I'm not smelling oak. As a grower, I'm in my vineyard all the time, and the worst thing that happens to me when I'm sniffing a glass of whatever it is, whether it be red or white, is to smell oak first. Oak should not be first. It should
right.
be fruit first.
Yeah.
And the fruit is here.
That's
so,
why the term fruit forward is
yes,
a positive.
Yeah, for a lot of people. Yeah. There are a lot of nothing wrong with people that love big oak and double oaked wines, but that is not what I'm looking for when I pull a glass of wine into my nose and into my mouth.
But I would suggest that the wine is in its infancy. Two more years, this will be a real sleeper that will come alive. This wine is just so closed up at some points because in the aftertaste there's so much more waiting to happen, and you don't see it all in the mid palate. It's all got some banana in about 2 years. Yeah,
this is interesting wine, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Unfortunately, I can't recreate this one because one of the vineyards got sold as soon as I picked the grapes. So that vineyard's gone, but I replaced it with some that I think are going to be equally good, if not even better, for 2018.
So are you having fun now that you've got your own deal?
No offense to anybody previously, but 2017 and 2018 were the best years of my life. I had so much fun doing this. It's just been a delight to reconnect with the growers that I'm working with now, the Duttons, the Martinellis, Charlie Chenoweth. It's really been wonderful to do them, and as well as others. They're not the only ones I'm buying grapes from. But it's just been wonderful. So exciting, so energizing to be able to start over again and rethink this and sort of, you know, have free reign to kind of recreate things in a new image that's maybe more modern in my way of thinking, anyway.
A little piece of what worked for before with some new innovation of what's going on now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, I usually start this out by asking the winemaker, the winery people, the history. How did you get into the wine world before Patson Hall?
Well, I worked for other wineries before Patson Hall. I worked at Flora Springs Winery. It was the first winery specifically that I worked at. But I was in the wine industry before that. I was a wine salesperson. As a matter of fact, in 1983, I was thinking maybe it was – I lived in Oregon for 14 years. In 1983, I was thinking maybe it's time to, you know, move to where the real wine industry is because I was interested in wine. So we moved – I was living in Eugene, Oregon at the time, and I looked on a map, and I said, look at that. Santa Rosa is almost the exact same size as Eugene. Let's move there. And it was literally that kind of decision. It wasn't like, oh, man, we've been there so many times. It's so beautiful. We just love it. It was, hey, it's about the same size where we live now. Let's go there. So we did.
And did you, as far as learning to make wine, did you go to Davis?
No, I didn't. I have a biology degree from the University of Oregon.
That'll work.
And then, really more, it's been around the winemakers at Flora Springs, at Girard Winery when I worked there, and then, of course, Patson Hall with James Hall. I think James is a ridiculously underrated winemaker. And so it's been really fun. And from the very beginning, I think all of us that were involved with Patson Hall said, the last thing we need is one more thing to sell. But it's really fun to actually be involved with the vineyard walks and discussions about grape clones and things like that. So, yeah, I got 30 years of experience with that.
There you go. And Patson Hall is a great winery.
Oh, terrific wines.
Yeah.
I think we did really well, you know, but it's kind of hard to see it from the inside. You know,
yes,
you just work really hard and
sure.
People seem to like it, but, you know, what are they going to say to my face, right?
Yeah.
But, this is, like I said, the new stuff has really been so much fun to explore, and I'm really thrilled to be able and to have been allowed to move on and be able to do this. It's just been a blessing.
It is California Wine Country. Our guest today is the great Donald Patz. He's now got the Donald Patz Wine Group, Maritana Vineyards, Turnanim Wines and Secret Door Winery.
Yes.
We've tried two of those. We've got a Secret Door Winery, too, that we're going to check out. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. Della Tofola, for over 60 years, been making equipment for the wine industry. They do it worldwide. They've been making equipment for the wine industry worldwide for more than 60 years, from crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, filters to fillers, complete packaging solutions. That's all the stuff we use on this radio show, which is why they're a sponsor. If you're in need of any last-minute equipment, they've got it all, and their technicians are just amazing. We talk to so many winemakers and winery owners who say, oh, yeah, they saved my ass before. Go to Della Tofola. .us and they want to wish everyone up here a great harvest for 2019, and so far it seems to be the case, right?
We picked today. We finished picking today.
I was going to ask what's going on with Seminole Vineyards.
Our last 20 tons of Cabernet came off the vine. So Seminole Vineyards is a grape free zone. And I'll tell you, at the end of harvest, you are so happy to see that.
Yeah, I bet. Donald Patz is here from the Donald Patz Wine Group, many years with Patson Hall. Do you still do, like, any consulting with those folks? Don't they call you and go, hey, we need some help or something?
They don't need me. They're fine on their own.
They've done such great work over the years. But I'm really digging everything you've poured yet today.
Thank you.
Now we're down to another Chardonnay. Jackson, you're in Chardonnay heaven here.
What's the actually that first?
Oh, that Turmanum?
Yeah.
That's
the Rhone
nice.
Blend. The Rhone blend is terrific.
That's better than any Chardonnay.
Ooh!
I got to raise the price.
Steve Jackson says. Stephen Jackson says.
You can put my picture on there, going this. Is great.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're writing.
Okay, so what's the difference between that other Chardonnay and this one?
So the first one was a blend of two different vineyards. Part of about 55% of the first one was Dutton Ranch. But this is a specific part of Dutton Ranch. Interestingly enough, the very first day that I went to visit the Duttons, this is the piece that they showed me. And I stood next to it. It's called Shop Block. And it's right next to their offices in Grayton. And it's the only remaining piece of the original plantings. So this was originally planted in 1967. About half the vines are still 1967 plantings. They interplanted with other stuff. So it's a really complicated vineyard now, but planted in 1967. So I added that. So it's called Shop Block 1967 so that we remind everybody they're drinking wine that comes from 50-year-old Chardonnay vines.
Did I ask you what year this is?
This is a 2017. So this literally was the 50th year that the vines were in the ground.
Tom?
Much more round and rich and opulent than the first one.
I like this a little better.
You like it better?
Yeah.
It's a little fatter. Yeah. This would be
just
a wine
like
that you could enjoy. We all have our waistlines now, or we used to have our waistlines. This is rounder and richer. The first wine, Dan, we were talking off the air, you might want to lay that one down a little bit and drink this one because this one is more right there. I almost think it really does taste like it has more oak, but you're saying it doesn't, right?
A little bit more, but it's not significant. This is about 20% new barrels, 80% one-year-old barrels.
So it's the fruit.
Yeah, it's those old vines just deliver this richness and intensity. I think you're probably right. It's probably more immediately drinkable right now, but my experience with this style of Chardonnay is that they go much longer than you think. Mm. So I've been drinking, wines from the early 2000s. From Patson Hall, that I think were structured very similarly to this, that are singing right now.
So well,
it's a matter of how long you.
I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger. So
everything.
But the thing, the whatchamacallit? I'm having a senior moment.
What's that?
You know where you pour it in and
decanter.
Let it, thank you. subscribe to the decanter.
I've been talking about decanters for 30 years. I think
I
it's the most important
so
tool
this,
you can
this
use.
You could. Decant rather than wait 2 years.
Precisely. And in fact, I think this wine, no disrespect intended to the guy who put an article in today's Press Democrat, but I think the decanting of Chardonnay is one of the more important issues that has been overlooked in wine. Chardonnay comes out often too soon. This one is a gorgeous wine right now, but it will certainly be better with an hour or two in a decanter, which indicates it'll be better in the bottle in 2 or 3 years. But I think that the other one, the first wine, is even better sent into the cellar because what you get out of that beautiful structure, the great acidity you've got in that wine just needs to have a little bit more expansion. You could do it with a decanter, but I think that's less likely to be impressive than the second wine. The second wine is really the...
You know, the problem, I think, with decanters, it's cleaning them and getting them dry.
Yeah.
If somebody could come up with that, then maybe decanters would take off, like wine glasses with Riedel and all.
I use tiny little ball bearings to clean the bottom of my decanter.
Well, explain that, Lucy.
You put about 30 miniature ball bearings in the bottom with some hot water and just... shake the decanter back and forth
What do the ball bearings do?
It takes all of the pigmentation that came out of your red wine off the bottom of the decanter, and it goes right down the drain. Just be careful not to let the ball bearings go down the drain.
or down your throat.
It is clearly keep your wine in your decanter a lot longer than I do. I never had that problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it through the evening.
I can't imagine me ever going, I need ball bearings for my decanter.
There's a Christmas gift for you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're moving to a Pinot.
Stuffer,
yeah,
right?
That's it, exactly. So we're moving to your Pinot. Is this correct?
That is correct.
And this is another Russian River?
It is. This is a blend of...
Is this Secret Door?
No, we're going to get to Secret Door next. This is the Maritana LaRousse Pinot Noir. So it's a blend of three different vineyards from 2017. And kind of the inverse thinking from Chardonnay, where I was really trying to get away from new barrels. I really love the impact that new barrels have on the right kind of Pinot Noir. So this is about a third whole cluster, which is a technique that I'm using with the intent of bringing out what I call Pinot perfume. I really love the aromatics of Pinot Noir. I want them to just, be that thing.
We all do,
yeah. Yeah. So, that's it. about a third whole cluster, press it dryness, go is into about 75% new barrels.
What vintage is this?
17.
Really? Screams Pinot.
Oh, man. Definitely. Oh, my God. It's got Pinot signature all over it.
But from the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so young. You can't miss it.
It's so incredibly young. What a gorgeous wine this is, though.
I mean, look at the color, the beautiful color of that. Oh, my goodness.
And Dan will lay this down for 45 years.
No. You know, I came to the realization the other day that 12 years is about as much as you ever want to go on Pinot Noir, on average, 12 years in Pinot. You can go 20 on Cabernet, but don't put your Pinot Noirs away without being cognizant of its limitations.
Well, since you and I are going to live to be 140, we can do that.
We can do. I'm living that life that way. I'm putting wine away now for my old age.
You know, I have a 10-year rule, a Simoneau 10-year rule. In a 750, no more than 10 years, no matter really what it is. In a Magnum, then you got a different world going on there. But this is really
this is delicious tasty. Wine.
Yeah,
that's really good nice, wine. Man. Imagine how good this would be with just decanting it now and then serving it right away.
Yeah.
It's just so tied up. It's gorgeous wine.
Lamb?
Yeah.
You could do lamb.
Lamb is good.
Or is lamb
I wouldn't much. I think it's gamier. I think rare, thin-sliced roast beef with this to allow the wine to be the dominant flavor on the
table.
Yeah,
okay, that makes sense.
Thin-sliced roast
lamb
beef?
I'd
do that with almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, go down to the food cellar and get out some roast beef, would you please?
The Wagyu. All right, so beautiful bottle. Beautiful bottle.
Gorgeous. Yeah, I'm really excited about doing Pinot Noir and using a little different
set of
techniques.
Is this the only one you're doing?
From 2017, it was the only one, but by 2018, I've got a cluster of single vineyard designates as well.
You've got several. Is it three?
Yeah, three. We can back into another Pinot after the Secret Door, which I know that you're really eager to taste. So we'll go there next.
And the label, first off, I love the name, and I love the label. And then Tom mentioned that you changed the door.
The door is going to change on each wine that we release. So
that is so
there'll
cool.
be a series someday, probably a poster with all the different doors on them or
and
something.
There should
doors
be.
Are fun.
And
is this guy an interesting guy or what?
Oh, he's fascinating.
I mean, the thesaurus on the first case, all the way to, here we are 10 of, and we're almost done. But you're quite a guy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying walking through, your varietals here.
Where did this door come from? Where's the door?
So the door that we're going to taste is a friend of mine took this when she was visiting India. And it's in northern India, and apparently it was the secret door into the ladies' part of the palace.
Oh, not the Hooters?
Not the Hooters, no.
Okay. Hooters is big over there. Yeah, never mind.
So don't bump.
No comment.
It's a joke, boy. You're supposed to laugh, right?
So, yes. All right. Well, I thought it looked great.
I'm also a stand-up comedian, and I'm not very good, so.
That's because you're sitting down. Stand up first.
Well, okay, I'm a sitting-down comedian. You're right. So the Secret Door name came from what you just mentioned.
So, no, the name actually came because of the very first release, the 2014, has a picture of a true secret door that is between the Aman Hotel and the Summer Palace in Beijing.
Wow.
And if you stay at the Aman Hotel, they'll let you in and out of the Summer Palace grounds, which is more like going to Central Park in New York. It's not really a palace in the sense that we normally think of them. And I just thought that was really cool. So I took this picture and, back in the early 2000s, and it kept popping up on my computer screen, as part of the screensaver. And so every time I'd see this, in fact, it's the picture up in the upper left-hand corner of my page on the internet there. That red door that you're looking there, that's the one. That's the original secret door.
Wow. And by the way, it is Donald Patz. Winegroup.com, folks. So check it out. You can buy these great wines there, and soon at Bottle Barn if Barry Herbst ever shows his ass back in here.
What's the vintage on this?
2017.
2017. Yes. So this is a babe.
This is a tiny baby.
Yes.
So I really love the story of why. Why would you, after 30 years of doing Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, be in the least bit interested in doing a Napa Valley Cabernet? Well, I was dating this woman who was on the East Coast, a Korean woman who I fell in love with and fell in love with me, and I was trying to convince her to move to California to be with me. And she said, among other things that she was throwing in terms of roadblocks, she said, I don't really like Pinot Noir that much anyway. I'd rather drink, 30 years of making Pinot, right down the drain. I'd rather drink Bordeaux or Napa Valley Cabernet. And I said, fine, if you move to California, I'll make Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon for you. So this is it. And if you look on the end piece of the wood box in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a cryptic little thing that looks at the number 4LKG. And it stands for 4 Little Korean Girl. She's Korean.
This guy. I thought we had a wine nut here because Dan is that's his handle and his.
That's my email.
Their email. We got a wine nut over here, man.
Wow, this is
So this is an interesting story too. It is not. This is 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, and this is from a vineyard that Judy Jordan owns. It's called Sage Ridge Vineyard. It's on the eastern side of the Napa Valley, up in the mountains. Above St. Helena, right above Lake Hennessy. You can actually, from parts of the vineyard, look right down onto Lake Hennessy. Mm-hmm. It's a spectacular sight, jaw-droppingly beautiful place. And Sage Ridge is going to be a super, super famous vineyard in Napa Valley in short order.
I love this nose.
Is that by Pritchard Hill, kind of? Is that
so
where that is?
It's across Sage Canyon Road from Pritchard Hill. You can look down onto Pritchard Hill.
This has a slight reminiscence of some of the early 70s Chablis. Because when I smelled that, there was a sage note in the aroma. It's almost a sage character.
Totally
Are you getting
true.
Any kind of pepper, or is that just me?
It is.
No,
there's a little bit of,
there.
It's like a dried peppercorn kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's very subtle.
And there's a bay leaf note, too.
And, absolutely.
This whole area is filled with all of those smells. When you stand in the vineyard, you can smell there's bay leaves down along the creek side, and there's different kinds of sages that are growing wild on the hillsides around
that
it. It smells like
that gray sage. And that brown sage, when you walk through there in the first part of spring, when they first start, the leaves start to come out, there's an unmistakable aroma, and you swear that it's Cabernet. You
really?
Say to yourself, and it's even before the grapevines have bloomed,
no kidding.
You smell Cabernet because of this sage character.
I love sage. I used to love Cabernet years ago, but my former wife used to get headaches. And by the way, this is Kathy.
I'm pretty sure everybody's former wife used to get headaches.
Yeah, well.
But I like that line.
She was nice enough to blame it on the cab and not me. So we stopped drinking cab, and she's now my business partner, of course, executive producer of the show. And I stayed away from cabs for a long time, and slowly I'm checking some of it out. This is... is drinkable. That's because we're not married.
Kind of goes back to
this
what I was saying
wine.
Before.
The fine grain tannins in the finish are really...
The secret to this wine is that it reminds me of the 80s and the mid-90s in terms of aroma because it has a trace of methoxypyrazine, which is...
Geek alert!
Oh, sorry. Which is part... Sorry, that's my problem. It is Cabernet. It smells like Cabernet. It smells like Cabernet used to smell like in everybody's bottle. But
a
now
little bit of bell pepper.
A lot of it
kind of.
Well, I wouldn't call it bell pepper because it's not strong enough. To me, it's a subtle component, and that will show if you decant this wine for 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, when you finally get air enough into this wine, which indicates its potential aging in a cellar. But if you get 4 hours, have you done that? Have you opened this for 4 hours?
Actually, yes, and I've left it in the bottle after that. Put
it's
it back in the bottle
better.
For days, and it's really amazing
this
what it does
is,
over
this
time.
Is, what Cabernet wants to do, some winemakers, I won't name names, won't allow
well, why not?
It to do. Well, because there are too many of them.
We got too many lawyers. I got 10 lawyers on staff. Don't worry about it. Okay, wait a minute. Dan was talking about ball bearings, cleaning the decanter, and Christopher DiMatteo, our webmaster in L.A., a guy who handles all the podcasts and everything, he just texted me saying, you can clean a bong like that, too. Well, now I am going to get ball bearings, for God's sakes.
They're handy.
Well, you know what? I've got my hands on this bottle, man. I'm taking this baby home. This Cabernet Sauvignon is stunning. Yeah, now, what do really you sell good. This for?
It's not cheap. This is $170 a bottle, which puts us kind of in the middle range.
Then you're
for
not
Napa
taking
Valley.
It home.
It's in the middle
brought,
range.
I brought this
Napa.
Man in today.
Yeah, you did. Listen, I want to talk to you about the beverage people. You got to start getting ready for your home-brewed beers for the holiday gifts and all the parties and make those strong ales to get you through the winter, too. You'll need to brew them now, and the beverage people are ready to help. They've been Sonoma County's fermentation headquarters since 1980. The beverage people can help you craft your next beer masterpiece. They take care of you really well, and they make sure you have fun with your hobby. They stock fresh, high-quality ingredients, well-made equipment at competitive prices. They put their customers first, and we're talking about... They'll teach you how to cure olives at home, make cheese, make mead, wine, beer. They do everything. They are.
Listen, when I first started making wine as a home winemaker, I was there every harvest. You could rent equipment that, from them. You yeah. know, we're talking, you know, back in the mid-80s. So when did you wow. say they started? 1980?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. The Beverage People, they're, you can go to thebeveragepeople.com. They're at 1845 Piner Road in Santa Rosa. We love them. Donald Pats Wine Group. Great to see you, man. This stuff was amazing.
Thank you very much. It was
Tom,
lovely to be here. Thank
Tom,
you.
Thanks for setting that up.
Month.
And we'll see you next week with someone from Australia.
Louisa Rose from Yolumba.
Like a major Australian winemaker. I'm looking forward to that.